Well, it is good to see so many of our family here this morning. And I hope your week has gone very well. And God is holy, as we have just sung. And because He is holy, we can put our faith and trust in Him. This morning, we want to talk about families. Families matter. It is another lesson in the series of lessons that we've been talking about on things that matter. And so let's think about families this morning. We'd like to start in Genesis 18 and verse 19. Genesis 18 and verse 19. Abraham had a wonderful relationship with God. And this was based upon Abraham's faith. Abraham believed God. He trusted God. But Abraham still had some weakness within him. He was needing to develop his faith over his lifetime, and he did that more and more. But God knew Abraham really better than Abraham knew himself. And he said this about Abraham in Genesis chapter 18 and verse 19. He said, "For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord, to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he had spoken of him." Now, there's so many things in this verse that stand out to me. One of them is that the Lord knew Abraham even when Abraham didn't know himself all that well. But he knew that Abraham was going to be an effective leader in his family, that he would command his children and his household after him, and that they would keep the way of the Lord. And that was important to the Lord. He wants families who are going to follow his way. He wants families that are going to, as he says, do justice and judgment. But then notice this in the last part of this verse, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. And the implication of that is this, that in order for the Lord to bless us as he desires to bless us, it takes our cooperation. Think about that for a minute. God was praising Abraham for the kind of man he was, for the character that he was, for being able to lead his family, for being a man of justice and integrity. And the Lord said this at the end, because he is doing these things, I can bless him. I can bring upon him that which I've spoken of him. You see, it takes our involvement in the Lord's plans for the Lord to bless us. Families matter. But for God to bless our families, we must be involved in our families. We've got to play an active role, an active part in doing what God wants us to do. We've got to pursue righteousness and justice. We have to pursue keeping the way of the Lord. We've got to pursue teaching our children. And those are things that the Lord will use then to bless us greatly. Now, I don't know of a single person here in this assembly that does not love his or her family. Everyone does. And we want to love our families. We want to be involved with our families. And we want to trust the Lord with our families. We can trust God if we will follow the Lord, if we will keep His way and His commandments, do justice and judgment, and take those principles and put them in application in our lives with our families. God's blessings will rain upon us. Now, families matter to God, and the Bible has a lot to say about families. In fact, in a lot of ways, the Bible is the story of Abraham's family and really God's family. But in thinking about the Bible's teaching on family, we find that God has a definite plan. He has something that He wants us to understand regarding families. And families are composed of father, mother, children, sisters and brothers, and it starts, of course, with husbands and wives. This is the fundamental unit of the family that we know about. Now, of course, we have grandparents and sometimes great-grandparents and grandchildren, and all of that is good. And those things come in. The Bible discusses some of those things. But the primary unit of a family is going to be the husband and the wife, first and foremost, and then secondly, their children. Well, let's talk about how families matter, and let's talk about each person's role in the family and how that matters. Families matter to God. And because families matter to God, that means that fathers and husbands matter to God. It means that mothers and wives matter to God. It means that children matter to God, and that grandparents matter to God, and that He has discussed this in His Word. So let's think about these things this morning. First of all, fathers and husbands matter to God. You know, Webster's Dictionary defines the word father as a man who has begotten a child. I think that's a rather shallow definition, and it's certainly not all that encompasses what the Bible teaches about being a good father. We see more in this regard in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, where the Bible clearly says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children unto wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Nurture and admonition. Colossians 3 and verse 21 reflects that thought as well. A father, then, is someone who is going to encourage and instruct. He is not to provoke, that is, to push children in such a way so that they become angry and bitter and rebellious. No, that's not the father's role. His role is to admonish. Admonishing sometimes can involve some correction. Hebrews chapter 12 and verses 9 and 10 teaches us that when we have a father who corrects us, it's because he loves us, he cares about us. It's the father who doesn't love his children, the father who doesn't care about his children, who refuses to correct them, who refuses to admonish them. But the father who cares will do exactly what Jesus did in Revelation 3, where he said, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten." And so it's the father who loves his children, who are concerned about his children and their well-being, and that they are successful, and that they can grow into adulthood and be a person who is then suitable to live in this world. That's a father's concern. But it's his concern that they live in this world as an adult in a way that is going to honor and fear the Lord. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It's not just supposed to be, "I will take care of you until you're old enough to find a good job and be on your own and be out there and you can do whatever you want." If that's the attitude that the father has toward his child, then he is not following God's plan for fatherhood, but his own. God's plan is encapsulated in what Malachi would say in Malachi 3. Why did he make one out of the husband and wife? Why? That they might bring forth godly seed. God wants children to be godly. He wants them to be righteous and just and good and holy and respect Him and love Him. And fathers have the responsibility of instructing and inputting that kind of information and that kind of attitude within a child's life. nurture, and admonition and of the Lord. So there's a commitment there that fathers must give to the relationship that they have with their children. It cannot be a hands-off relationship. The world does not want that. The world wants fathers to be out of the children's lives. And just about most sitcoms that you'll see out there portray the father as being some kind of bumbling fool who is just within the family for the purposes of comedic relief. Well, that's the devil sowing his seed among our families and trying to oppose what the Word of God says about the father's responsibilities. Don't let the world influence you, children, wives, mothers. Don't let your father or your husband become what the world wants. And fathers, definitely don't fall into that trap of being a hands-off parent. No. Fathers must be involved in their children's lives. Think about Joshua, who is a great father, who said in Joshua 24 and verse 15, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." That was his directive. And he was going to ensure that they followed that directive. David charged Solomon in 1 Chronicles 28 and verse 9, "As for you, my son Solomon, know the God of your father and serve him with a loyal heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands all the intent of the thoughts. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever." Does that sound like a father that's not involved in their children's lives? Not to me. David was concerned about Solomon. He wanted him to seek the Lord with all of his heart. And so must we, as fathers and husbands today, so seek the Lord. Fathers matter. Husbands matter. Again, if you just look in the dictionary and find what a husband is, it just says a married man. That's all it says. But how does the Bible define it? Again, we've got to look at the book of Ephesians to see what a husband's responsibilities are. Ephesians 5 and verse 25 says, "Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish." So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. So husbands have a responsibility to love their wives. Love means doing what needs to be done to honor her, to protect her, to shelter her, to care for her, to nourish and cherish her. Husbands are to love their wives as they love their own selves. Think about the ways in which we love ourselves. We provide for ourselves. We care for ourselves. Husbands, we do a tremendous amount of things for ourselves. Are we doing those things for our wives also? We need to cherish our wives, not be bitter toward them. Colossians 3 and verse 19. Dwell with them according to knowledge. 1 Peter 3 and verse 7. When we look in the Bible and we see examples of good husbands, I think about Jacob, who loved Rachel so much that he worked 14 years. He gave up 14 years of his life so that he could have her as his wife. Think about Boaz in the book of Ruth, who honored the law, but at the same time was willing to take Ruth into his life and become her husband so that he could honor God's law. Great examples of what husbands are in the Bible. Fathers and husbands matter to God. But also, mothers and wives matter to God. Again, is a mother just one who has begotten a child? Or does the Bible give us a definition greater than that? In Titus 2, in verses 4 and 5, we see divine instruction given regarding how mothers are to behave. Titus chapter 2 and verses 4 and 5. Talking to the older women, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. This is not what the world wants. The world does not support what the Bible says about mothers and what their responsibilities are within the family. The world certainly does not want young women to love their husbands. They are supposed to rebel against their husbands and live their own lives according to the world's definition of things. The world does not want mothers to love their children. The world wants them to abandon their children and go out and seek their own fulfillment in this world. So much so that the world today permits young mothers to murder their children from their own wombs. That's what the world wants for mothers. Is that what we want? Good Lord, I hope not. Why can we not understand the Bible's teaching about the role of mothers and wives in the church today? Admonish their young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands. This is God's standard. What are the implications? Mothers are to love their children, care for their children, to be affectionate toward their children, show a deep and abiding concern for their children. Yes, they are involved in teaching and instruction and discipline as well. And they are to then be the ones who keep that home ready, stable, secure for their children to have a wonderful place to grow up. Mothers have this responsibility. And what a great responsibility it is. When I think about good mothers, I think about Hannah, 1 Samuel 1, who prayed and prayed and prayed for God to give her a child. And when he finally did, she loved him so much that she dedicated him to the Lord. You see, that's the picture of love that we find in the Bible, of mothers to their children, of mothers dedicating their children to the Lord. That's the kind of love they have for them. We read about Lois and Eunice, 2 Timothy 1:5, whom Paul praised because the faith of Timothy was found in them first, and that they instructed Timothy in the ways of the Lord and in the word of God from generation to generation, from grandmother to mother to son. Timothy received that dedication. Mothers matter to God. He wants godly mothers. He wants mothers who will not give in to the pressure of the world, but who will be the kind of mothers that He wants them to be. And wives matter to the Lord. Turning back to Ephesians chapter 2 or chapter 5 and looking at what it says here about wives in relationships to husband. Let's read those verses. Ephesians 5, verses 22 and 23. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. There's a relationship here that God desires. The husband being the head of the family, the wife in loving submission, the husband loving his wife, cherishing her as he would his own body, and the wife then responding to that love in obedience and graciousness. That is the picture that God desires of our families. Wife is someone then who is going to love her husband and be faithful to him, just as the church is to be faithful to the Lord, to submit to the Lord, and to be obedient to the Lord. Families in which wives do not remain in this set of responsibilities go awry and do not pursue faithfulness. Think about the implications of this kind of attitude. There is commitment here. There is learning here. There is help here. There is working together here. When I think about good wives, I think about Sarah, whom Peter praised in 1 Peter 3 in verses 5 and 6. And said that godly women would do well to follow her example. I think about Elizabeth in Luke 1 and verse 60, who, when her husband came and said that their son was going to be named John, according to the instruction of the Lord, did not criticize him as all of the other family members were criticizing him because it was not a family name, but supported her husband and said, that's what his name is going to be. If my husband says that's what his name is going to be, that's what his name is going to be. That's a good wife. Mothers and wives matter to God. And so He has given instruction. And children matter to God. Because husbands and wives matter, children matter. Children. What does the Bible say? They are a heritage from the Lord. Psalm 127, verses 3 through 5. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Ephesians 6, verses 1 and 2. Children must listen to parents. They must respect their fathers. They must learn from their mothers and respect and honor their mothers. Children also don't stop being children just because they've grown up. I'm still my parents' child, and they give me a lot of freedom. If my parents ask me to do something, I am still bound to honor and respect them. Jesus, in fact, would criticize the Pharisees, who were adults, for not keeping the fifth commandment, honor your father and mother. They thought that when they became adults, they didn't have to do that anymore. And they made excuses not to do that. Jesus held them accountable to it. Children don't stop being children just because they've grown up. Parents still have a responsibility. They have a responsibility to love and support their children from the time that they are conceived until the time that they leave this world. The parents, that is. My wife, as soon as she found out we were expecting, started taking those prenatal vitamins. From the time of conception, women can care for their children. Children must honor their father and mother, as the Bible teaches. And when they do so, we find that they will be those arrows in the quiver that Psalm 127 talks about, a heritage from the Lord. Proverbs 17, verse 6 says that grandchildren are a crown to the elderly. And of course, the Bible teaches that grandchildren are a great blessing to grandparents. And grandparents have some responsibility to their grandchildren. Let's look at Deuteronomy 6 and verses 1 through 3, and then we will be ending our lesson. Families matter to God. Husbands and fathers matter. Wives and mothers matter. Children matter. Grandparents matter. And that is all summed up right here in Deuteronomy 6. And let's read together, starting in verses 1 through 3. Now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess, that you may fear the Lord your God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command you, you and your son and your grandson, all the days of your life, that your days may be prolonged. Therefore, hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, and that you may be multiply greatly, as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you. Verse 4, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Maybe you live in a home where there is scripture above the door. I have visited many a Christian home and seen such. It's a great practice. It's a great reminder who we are and to whom we belong. Are we teaching our children diligently? Are we being the kind of fathers we need to be? The kind of mothers we need to be? Are we honoring the Lord as husbands and wives? Children, are we doing what we need to do to honor our father and mother? God cares about families, and families matter to him. So much so that God has said, you who belong to Jesus Christ belong to his spiritual family. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And he says, because you are Christ, you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. What does that mean? It means we're part of God's family. We haven't been talking about God's spiritual family per se. We've been talking about what God expects of our physical family. But God's spiritual family, that word family is used to describe the relationship that we are to have with one another, because family means something to us and it means something to God. Are you part of God's spiritual family? Are you a child of God? Are you a brother or sister of Jesus Christ? Are you worshiping with your brothers and sisters right now as part of this great family? Are you an heir of the promises that God will give to Christ Jesus one day? We hope that you are. But if you're not this morning, we want you to become part of God's great family so that you can have a great family and you can be a great family member, whatever your role may be. God makes everything better in our families. And we can trust God with our families. Let's put our faith and trust in him and do what he wants us to do and be pleasing to him. This morning, if you want to become a member of the family of God, you can hear his word and believe it. Repent of your sin, confess Jesus as Lord, and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins and become part of that great family of God. or maybe you need prayer for you and your family, and you would like to request that this morning, we'd be happy to pray with you and for you. Whatever your need may be, come make it known now while together we stand and sing.